You ready for some coffee, honey?
Absolutely.
I'll pour.
Great coffee. I'm Dr. Ron Martinelli.
And I'm Linda Martinelli.
And we are Talking
While Married. Well, Ron, while American people desperately need help for the new stimulus, we need that help, the Senate Democrats voted down the measure 100%. So 100% of them said no to giving the American people the help that they need.
I'm so disappointed in this, and I continue to be disappointed in both the Congress and the Senate in helping us all get through this horrible pandemic with the job losses, the businesses that have gone bankrupt. We have all been affected by this. Those of us like you and me that own multiple businesses have been severely affected. Our employees have been affected, other businesses, millions of Americans have been affected from all socioeconomic strata, all races, all religions, all cultures. And for these rich elite politicians that really, they have their own system, right? They have their own system of everything, their own system of medical care, their own system of Social Security, their own system of protection, and they live off of our dole. And how dare they not work towards something that would benefit the American people because they want to do the political posturing and not give President Trump or the Republican Party some sort of victory. This is not a victory. This should be a bipartisan effort.
This should be a bipartisan effort. It's not a victory for Republicans. It is a necessary thing for American people. So we have so many Americans who have lost their businesses completely, and we have so many Americans who are just on the edge, right on the edge of losing their business, and this money can save them, and they are fooling around with their stupid politics and getting absolutely nothing done. This particular bill was $500 billion, and it would have helped with the Paycheck Protection Plan, which is desperately needed. It would have helped with money for more coronavirus testing, which is desperately needed. And it would have helped with money to schools who are starting back up. What could you possibly find wrong with that? One Republican voted against this, which was Rand Paul. He voted against it because he doesn't want to add money to the deficit. But if we don't take this step right now, we're going to lose so many people over that cliff who will never recover. And that there also go all of their employees. So no, this is something that has to be done. And we cannot afford to play politics with these people's lives in this country.
You know, you're absolutely right. I met quite a few politicians in my life, and I can count the number of politicians that I respect on probably one hand, and not two hands, but one hand. And again, they just don't get it. They have that beltway mentality, they live in the bubble, and they do what is ever politically expedient for themselves, trying to score these little political points to our expense. So I guess we're going to have to go all through this again. More people are going to lose their jobs. More businesses are going to go under. More families are not going to be fed. Just more stress on the American public going up into the November election. And sure, Democrats, you managed to screw everybody over, but don't think that we're going to forget about that when it comes time for election. Don't forget about that in the Congress, and don't forget about that in the Senate. And how dare you guys go away and take your summer breaks and take your vacations while everybody here in the United States has truly been suffering. And then how dare you come back and politically posture and vote against something that would at least get us moving ahead.
Exactly. And maybe it didn't have everything in it that the Democrats wanted.
But it's
a start at something. And here's the other thing. I don't think that the Democrats want to help the American people before the election. That's my personal opinion. I think that they want to make it sound like what Joe Hyden is saying is saying all over is that, you know, Trump messed up with coronavirus, which I disagree with, but that's neither here nor there. But they want to make it sound like everybody in the country is suffering because of President Trump. And what's true in my mind, Ron, is that the people in the country are suffering because of the Democrats and because the Democratic states will not open their businesses, which is hurting people like my business, where in Texas, where your business is, we have things open. So people in Michigan, people with the Democratic governors are getting hurt by this, and America knows this. So the play that they want to play is that America will think and blame President Trump for this, and they'll vote Biden in. But I don't think America is that stupid. They are playing with fire here, and they are playing with our lives, and I resent it. Nancy Pelosi is, she just doesn't care about the American people. She only cares about winning in politics.
Well, and she cares about herself, okay? And, you know, recently, you know, she's come under quite a bit of fire because she went and made a beauty appointment and got her hair done when all of the salons are supposed to be closed. Nobody, no other women are getting their hair done. No other women are getting their nails and feet and all these things that women get done. They're not getting them done. But she, because she is such a powerful, rich, elite person, you know, the Marie Antoinette of the Democratic Party, she can go in and get her hair done and to hell with everybody else. You know, let us eat cake.
Yep. Well, that's exactly right. And you know, she kind of got egg on her face by doing it. However, she turned it right around as
Absolutely.
Her typical thing.
And doubled down against the salon owner who's losing her business and taking death threats at the same time for calling it to the Americans' attention.
Well, good Americans came to the plate and they gave her enough money to keep her business. I hope she does one of two things. Either moves that business.
Oh, she needs to move.
Or never lets Nancy Pelosi darken her door again.
No, she needs to move that business. Unfortunately, she probably won't move it out of Nancy's Senate district.
Well, she probably lives there, so that's probably where she wants to work.
No, I totally get it.
But so the point to me is that they have fooled around with this stimulus plan for the American people for far too long. You're right, they took a break in between. And, you know, they've done other things. They did the post office thing in a heartbeat, right? Because they want to get those mail-in votes out so that we can, you know, so fraudulently can vote
exactly,
12 times.
Exactly.
But they can't help the American people. And I personally know so many people, and I think we all do. We all know people who are suffering greatly in their businesses. And for me, I feel terrible, you know, when I have to lay an employee off because I can't get any of this money, and Governor Newsom won't open the state over there and let people work. So this is a mess, and I absolutely believe that it's a contrived mess by the Democrats in order to try to make us believe that this is President Trump's fault, and we're not buying it.
Well, I think that if people are smart, and I worry about this a lot, you know, people being smart or not, if they are able to see through this, and to me, the scheme is very, very easy. Scare the heck out of the American people so they won't go and personally vote. Stay away from the absentee ballot situation. By the way, absentee ballots are vetted, and that's why they're a valid way of voting. You and I, because we travel so much, have voted using the absentee ballots for years and years. Since we moved out to Texas, we've been personally voting, and it's a lot of fun to do it because we have to show ID not once but twice, and we know that our vote is going to count. But I feel so sorry for people that live in these uber, supermajority Democratic areas, such as in, the San Francisco Bay Area and the Washington, D.C.s and the Seattles and, the Portland, Oregons and the Detroit, Michigans and the NYCs and, some of that, because your vote doesn't count. And, I want to talk about this, a little bit later on about, come on, people, get your head out of the sand and pay attention to what's really happening here. But I want to press on. There is unfortunately not very much good news, Linda, for us to talk about tonight. One of the big things that's going on right now is the forest fires. And the forest fires right now are going through, 12 states. So, states like, California, Alaska, Arizona, Colorado, Idaho, Montana, New Mexico, Utah, and it's so tragic. We have right now over 102 large forest fires burning in those 12 states, and we're over 4.5 million acres are being burned up right now. But we have 26,000 firefighters deployed to those 102 fires. 26,000. Is that amazing or what?
That is amazing. And Governor Newsom says that this is, and President Obama says that it is the cause of climate change. So this is not any of anybody's fault there. It's all climate change. Well, I beg to differ. I think that California, and we've talked about this before, has seriously mismanaged their forestry for a very long time.
And their water.
And that is the cause of this. They have got to clear some of these areas around power lines and homes and, brush areas and dead trees and all of those things. And they wouldn't allow logging to happen, which thins the forests.
Well, that's exactly right, which is what you need. You and I had a residence for many years up in Lake Arrowhead, California, which is in the eastern Sierras. Actually, we were in the San Bernardino National Forest. And during that time that we lived up there, we were evacuated, I think, three times and nearly lost our house during the last evacuation. It got, just by the grace of God and the wind shifting away, it got within a quarter of a mile of our house. But people don't understand how damaging the Sierra Club was in the state of California. Now, I can't speak to other states, but I can only speak to my experience in California and how the Sierra Club was running everything that was going on. And they would not let us thin the forest. They would not let us log. They would not let us clear the brush out of there. And of course, what do you think is going to happen? And then what did we suffer from? We suffered from the bark beetle because we had a drought for several years, and that allowed the bark beetle to come in and devastate our forests, not only in California, but all over the West. Devastated, then all it takes is a lightning strike or an arsonist, which is what happens a lot in California, and poof, everything goes up in the air.
Well, and that's exactly what's happening. They've had an unprecedented heat wave, but that can happen.
And lightning.
And a lot of lightning, yeah. The water was an issue as well, though. They mismanaged the water.
Yes.
They did not capture the water. They did not take care of the dams.
The reservoirs. They didn't build the reservoirs. They were too concerned about the darter snail.
That was Nancy Pelosi's thing.
Absolutely.
And these things have dramatically hurt California. Again, the Democrats have dramatically hurt California. So what they've done now, I just heard this, that now they want to take that Colorado River water and pipe it up to Utah as well.
Absolutely incredible. I mean, what are the people in Nevada going to do?
There's not going to be any more water in that. That river is not that big, and it's not that wide.
Right, and if you look at Lake Mead,
it's down.
Way down. Yeah. How do the people in Las Vegas, in Henderson, Nevada, and in some of these areas going to survive?
So then you're going to take all of that water away, and then, this is just crazy. They needed to have managed this. California, you have got to change your politicians in that state, because you are going deeply downhill very fast, and everybody in the country knows it, it seems like, but California.
Well, you know, and I want to talk about that, because I think, thank you for bringing that up, because it's so important to mention this thing about the voting. But just to call to mind, of the 102 fires right now, 24 fires are burning in California, and they've consumed over 2.5 million acres. And that's, and by the way, just in one day, there's 30 fires in Oregon and Washington going on right now, and over 1 million acres burned. And just from in a 24-hour period, 100% increase in the amount of forests that are being burned up.
Well, sure, because they have high winds, and the fires make their own winds also, and they make firestorms.
Incredible.
Fire tornadoes. It is an incredible sight. You can probably go online and look at them, but the sky looks like an apocalypse in the state.
You know, when we lived up in Lake Arrowhead, one of the biggest fires we had came up the hill, up the 330 and the 18, and just took out rim forest and forest falls and a couple of these areas, and those were phenomenal areas, beautiful areas, and it looks like a moonscape right now. But the people that survived, they said that with the winds, that you're talking about, these tornado-like winds, first of all, they said the sheets of flames were over 250 feet high, and it sounded like a freight train.
Right, that's
you remember
what they
that?
Said. Today they said a jet engine, and you know what we've lost in California is we've lost so many of those giant redwood trees that
have been
there for
pines,
thousands
right.
of years. Right. And that's just, that's a tragedy.
So let me just mention this, people, you talked about the lack of maintenance in the water, in our water system, and not, funding the dams and not funding the reservoirs. When California did have a lot of rain, literally hundreds of billions of gallons of precious water were just going out into the ocean because
exactly.
We did not fix the watershed. We did not have the reservoirs. We did not have the dams. And those were being broken, of course, because they weren't maintained. And it just has been a travesty. But let me just reach out to people that are Democrats and California and, in Oregon and Washington and, around the country. Look, I get the fact that President Trump does not resonate with you. I even get the fact that some of you out there hate the President of the United States. But for God's sakes, people, especially those of you who are in Calizuela, you've got to change your mindset about voting for Democrats in that state. They have destroyed your state. That's why you and I, Linda, fled California a number of years ago.
And our kids and our friends.
And you've got to just stop it. You have to think, if you've got sweat equity, in other words, you own property, you own a business, you're trying to make money, and you are being thwarted and obstructed every bit of the way from moving forward in your own lives and your family's lives, that is not because of President Trump. If you don't want to vote for the guy, fine, don't vote for the guy, but for God's sakes, start voting for some Republicans for governor and for the Senate and for the state legislature and the congressional positions, because look at what is happening to your damn state. It's
yep.
being destroyed.
Exactly. And there's an exodus from California. I'm going to get you a cup of coffee and calm you down.
Well, you think I'm a little outraged about this.
The war on America's cities and claims of racism in the ranks of law enforcement have spirited a renewed debate on racial equality. It was Alexis de Tocqueville who reminded us, Americans are so enamored of equality. They would rather be equal in slavery than unequal in freedom. To which I say, be warned of the shiny object, America. AmericaOutloud.com is the voice of liberty and justice for all. Well, it's a fight for the soul of humanity.
Well, boy, you switched it up pretty good. This is Vietnamese coffee, and I like it.
Yeah, it's, I actually had it. Oh no, get ready, at a nail salon.
And, imagine that.
Yeah.
Okay.
And they made it for me, and I kind of fell in love with it. So I thought I'd buy some and bring it home and try it at home.
Well, you didn't buy some, Linda. You bought a whole case.
I'm giving some away as gifts.
Okay. Well, listen, I want to talk about, you know, you mentioned the fact that I'm a little bit hot out of the collar from some of the things I'm seeing. But I think one of the things that we are all seeing is that Black Lives Matter activists and Antifa activists are now going into restaurants, indoor and outdoor restaurants. It doesn't matter what kind of restaurants. They hit McDonald's. They've hit a bunch of outdoor restaurants. And they are literally accosting, intimidating, and assaulting people, throwing their food, you know, on the ground, going right up. I saw a lady just chastising and intimidating an elderly couple,
right,
and then pushing the food into their chests and grabbing the guy's beer and drinking the beer, overturning tables, making entire families get up, standing over poor young defenseless, you know, teenage girls and elderly people. I mean, it's just a bunch of Nazi thugs. And so can people say they're really free in the United States of America when we get this black and brown shirted Nazis? You know, you can be a Black Lives Matter movement person and be a Nazi. You can be an Antifa person and be a fascist. And that is the kind of stuff that I'm seeing, except these people are all Marxists and neo-socialists.
Well, one of the ones that I saw, they were all disturbing.
Oh,
very, very disturbing.
Everyone.
Very, very frightening for all of those people, because they are just a couple people out eating, and especially the elderly people, and you have hundreds of people in these groups, and they're angry, and they're breaking things and throwing things and threatening your life. It's terrifying. And like you say, you had a table full of, I don't know, maybe about six or eight very young women, probably in their early 20s, out enjoying the time together at a table. Maybe it kind of reminded me of, like, you know, if, when you have a wedding party together, you know, that all the girls went out. And a big, very large black man went up and, you know, just was basically threatening them to get the heck out of the restaurant. They
forcing
weren't even in the
out.
Restaurant. They're out. Yeah.
Forcing them out.
And throwing things on their table. And, you know, that was scary. Now, and what I think right now as I'm talking to you, what if that was reversed? What if that was a table full of young black women and a great big white man walked up and did that? He would be called racist, would he not?
Well, that
I mean,
is
we would hear about it,
yes,
all over the news.
But see, that's the ridiculousness of the whole thing, and that's the hypocrisy that we live with. And that's what happens when you have total anarchy in the streets. And I'm going to talk in a little bit about why so many people are leaving law enforcement, and, you know, and which just exacerbates the whole thing, because there is no one taking control. The police have been, you know, totally handcuffed. They've been emasculated. The judges are making the most ridiculous decisions and rulings that I've ever heard. And this is the logical consequence of this when you don't have a rule of law and you don't have people that enforce and protect the rule of law, Lynn.
No, I agree. I still need to know who's racist here, though, because you have these groups of people, and those women at the table probably were not, but yet they're being ordered out. And again, you could reverse it, and it's still the same situation. So all of these people are not doing anything good for race relations in the country.
Well, you know, so here's my comment about that. This has nothing to do with racism. None of this has anything to do with racism. This thing about racism and you're racist and you're white privileged and you're this and you're that, that is all Marxist rhetoric, and that is all this ridiculous critical race training.
But I did not see.
Which is all Marxism, and racism has nothing to do with it unless it's reverse racism.
Exactly, because I did not see any people of color that were forced out of tables. They only went to the places where there were white people.
Right.
Because we are now in this big false narrative of white privilege and making people feel guilty for being white.
Well, and again, that goes back to the Marxism. The racism card is a false narrative, and it's the rhetoric of class struggle Marxism. That's what this is all about. That's what this is all about. And people need to just put their thinking caps on and go back and say to themselves, when did this start? When did all of this start?
Well, it started under Obama.
Thank you very much. That's exactly the point I'm trying to raise.
And he's furthering that narrative every time he talks.
The racial divide between people of color and whites was actually becoming less divisive.
Yes.
And then when Obama took office, the first black president, he was the person that was consistently making things worse, and so was Biden. They were both. When the Trayvon Martin, George Zimmerman thing took place, and they thought George Zimmerman was white, he ended up not being white. Here we got Obama saying, Trayvon Martin, you know, could have been my son. Right? Do you remember that when he said that?
He could have been my son.
Trayvon Martin, you know, I wrote, that's chapter one in my best-selling book, The Truth Behind the Black Lives Matter Movement and the War on Police. He was a thug. He was a total thug. And the way they made him look like he was a 12-year-old kid, that was all photoshopped. He was 165-pound football player. He's about 5'9". And he set upon George Zimmerman, not the sharpest knife in the drawer, but some chubby, more of a Mexican guy. And, you know, the problem was is that when Trayvon Martin had him on the ground and was beating him to death, Zimmerman was forced to draw his concealed weapon and shoot and kill him. The next one, the first time that Obama took on the police and the Professor Gates situation with Sergeant Crowley in Cambridge, Massachusetts. Again, Obama took on the police and made a racist comment and called the police stupid. And who were right in the end? That's another chapter in my book, by the way. It was the police that was right, and Professor Gates was wrong. Obama and Biden were the guys that were stirring, and Michelle Obama were the people stirring the pot as far as divisiveness and separating people of color, specifically blacks, from the white community.
But they still are doing that, because just recently he made a comment about these people who are rioting and looting, and basically called them people that were out there making a change as though they were doing something good. And he's validating their actions with his words.
And of course, the media, the mainstream media, exacerbates this because they're complicit with Black Lives Matter, they're complicit with Antifa, they're complicit with, you know, Sleepy Joe Biden. And the fact of the matter is that the vast majority of blacks and people of color in the United States get along very well with the white counterparts. They get along very well with the white counterparts. And I think that people of color are very scared now. The people that are common sense blacks, common sense Hispanics, Asians, people of color, people of different cultures, are seeing what's happening to their country. They're seeing that race relations is getting hijacked by a bunch of Marxists, and they're scared. And I'll tell you what, I will be a little bit prophetic. When it comes down to the November election, I think Trump is going to actually get more black support and more Hispanic support than he got back in 2016.
Well, that's already showing in the polls. And, you know, I belong to the group Blacks for Trump, and because I like all the people in that group. And so I follow them and I listen to them and I've contributed to them. And, you know, I think that they are people just like other Americans. You know, they're not out there rioting. They're not out there looting. They are working for their families. They are wanting to get ahead in life. They're doing what we all do in life. These people, Ron, these people that are doing this rioting and looting and disturbing, in some of these communities, over 90% of the people are not local.
That is exactly right.
And in other communities, it might be 80%, but it's always a high percentage. These people are brought in to instigate and to terrorize other people. And when they do that, you get that those groups of people that, for lack of a better word, I will say, almost like losers that have nothing better to do with themselves, and they get out there and they figure, here's a cause I can join, and oh boy, I get to go get some excitement and go break windows and, you know,
yeah,
grab stuff and all that. And or you get those other people that have been really, you know, almost like a cult. They've been told that America's bad and that these guys are good. And then you get those followers. These are all people that don't have a whole lot of thought going into this.
Well, you know, and again, I wrote about this, you know, in the book, Linda. George Soros, people like Beyonce Carter and Jay-Z. And right now we see Kamala Harris are people that are funding these Marxist revolutionaries and these anarchists. Kamala Harris has been bailing these, you know, donating money literally to bail these anarchists and these Marxist revolutionaries that have been destroying businesses and looting businesses and hurting and killing people.
Yes.
And she's bailing them out of jail. Joe Biden has nothing to say about all of this violence until recently when his poll numbers went down. And now he's saying, well, you know, all violence is inappropriate. I mean, this has been going on for 3 or 4 months, and he's been, you know, Joe hiding in the basement with zero to say about any of this.
Well, their entire Democratic convention said nothing about it,
right?
And it was all going along. How could you do that? I want to go back to what you said. People absolutely need to understand that the woman running with Joe Biden for the vice presidency of our United States is currently today and every day raising money to bail people out that are looting your stores, that are burning your buildings, that are destroying your towns, that are costing you jobs, and that are getting people killed.
And you know what? You don't have to take it from Dr. Ron and Linda. You can pick up your own computer and you can Google vetted news stories and internet sites where she's on the site talking about donating money for these causes that bail people out that are these anarchists and these destroyers of businesses and lives.
Well,
and she is, if he gets elected, God help us, because he's not going to make it. And she is a heartbeat away from the presidency. Come on, people, even the Democrats out there. Are you serious? This is the person that you want to be the next president of the United States when, you know, Biden that can't even talk without, can't even answer a question unless it's on a teleprompter? Come on, are you kidding me? And then he's going to pass away or he's going to be disabled and she's going to take over this country? This is the country you want to live in? A Kamala Harris presidency country?
Well, even in California, She was very, very disliked in California. This is not the kind of person, and she does not have the character that we need for our president.
Exactly.
Nor does she have the business sense, nor does she have the business experience.
That's exactly right. Listen, let me transition, it's same theme, Linda, but let me transition over and mention about the hundreds now of police officials that are leaving law enforcement, early retirement, they're retiring, they're resigning. Right now, over 100 police chiefs and management level officers are leaving some of the biggest Democratic cities that we have. And as a matter of fact, there's about 20 people of color, men and women, that are bailing, that are resigning, that are retiring early from law enforcement. So when you talk about community policing and race relations and Black Lives Matter, on a good sense, Black Lives Matter, not on the revolutionary anarchistics, you know, type of people. But you talk about the chief of police in Seattle, Washington, who had an exemplary career, and she is leaving. The Dallas black female chief of police that's only been in the job for about a year that took over from Chief Brown, who was a black man, who did an amazing job, extremely respected, who left after a little bit after the assassination of five police officers during a Black Lives Matter protest. The chief of police in Portland, Oregon is leaving. They're leaving all over the place. Rochester, a black chief of police and his entire command staff is leaving. And so I thought what we were supposed to be doing in law enforcement is having more inclusivity and bringing more minorities to the forefront of management in our law enforcement agencies. And what these groups have done, and with the lack of political support from the mayors and city councils, they're leaving. And they're taking thousands and thousands of officers with them.
Well, sure, because it didn't matter what color they are. It only mattered that they were police. And just like we just had an incident where a South Carolina police chief answered his own front door and got an ice pick in the face, and a man who told him he was going to die today. I mean, they are randomly attacking these officers. And at the same time, we have these absolutely ridiculous and foolish and downright stupid mayors and city councils that are defunding the police, and you leave these guys out there on your own. I think every single one of them should be charged with a crime for these attacks. We, the people, pay their bill, and we want the police.
And you know what? When they are asked, for instance, when in Rochester, the chief of police is resigning, he's taking his entire command staff with him. I've never seen anything like that in all my years in law enforcement, you know, over 40 years. Never seen anything like it. They ask the mayor, so what are you going to do now? The mayor goes, we'll be okay. We'll be okay. Hey, mayor. No, you're not going to be okay. You've got no command staff. And then who's going to take over? Some lieutenant that has, you know, 5 years of experience on the job? Because people are leaving law enforcement so rapidly that they're rapidly promoting up through the ranks. And one of the problems that we're having, and of course, as a police practices expert, Linda, I see it all the time, is that there's not enough supervisory experience. There's not enough street experience to become a supervisor or a manager, and they just don't know how to run these agencies.
But see, this was the plan all along with these people, is to destroy the agencies just as they're doing. I'm going to get you another cup of coffee.
Sounds good.
Did you know the average person spends 26 years of their life sleeping? The real troubling statistic is that we spend 7 years of our life trying to get to sleep, struggling with racing minds, tossing and turning. If you're one of the millions of Americans who need better quality sleep, the time to change is now. Sleep is proven to extend our lifespan, protect against terrible diseases like cancer, heart disease, and dementia, make us more attractive and thinner, feel calmer and happier, and boost energy levels, memory, and performance. Until now, most sleep supplements haven't worked, but a new, easy-to-swallow sleep gel, invented by the leading nutrition company, Healthy Cell, is designed to support all four stages of human sleep to help you fall asleep, stay asleep, sleep deep, and wake up refreshed. It's called REM Sleep. To get a free two-night supply of REM sleep, visit healthycell.com/sleep. That's healthy, CELL.com/sleep.
Well, it seems like there's always some sort of, something going on with the big Amazons, Googles, Microsofts. There's just a lot of accusations thrown back and forth between these organizations and the Twitter and YouTube and all those about that we can't say what we want to say, especially conservatives. So they really
They
help me out here.
Well, they punish you. You know, you're talking to a guy that's been in Facebook jail a couple of different times.
You are the jailbird.
And had my LinkedIn over 7,700 followers suddenly just disappear.
Well, what I wanted to say is that they censor conservatives. Well,
they do more than that. They censor. It's all. I won't disagree at all. All the different tricks that they play. In fact, at the end of the day. Is censorship.
Yes, absolutely. Well, we talked about, actually over a year ago, you and I had a conversation about Amazon and Microsoft, who were both trying to get a project from the Department of Defense, which was, it's called the JEDI Project, and it's a $10 billion Joint Enterprise Defense Infrastructure Cloud. That's where they get the acronym from, Joint Enterprise Defense Infrastructure. So it's a cloud computing project, okay? And Microsoft was awarded that contract back in 2019. Amazon, Jeff Bezos, sued the government and President Trump, saying that the reason they didn't get it is because Trump doesn't like Jeff Bezos.
Well, I don't like Jeff Bezos. He took my book off the shelves, and now I got to sell it privately.
Right. Well, so now everything got put on hold, as it always does, because things have to wind through the courts.
Okay, so it's in litigation.
So everything Microsoft just was re-awarded the contract over Jeff Bezos.
Oop, Jeff.
And I'm pretty happy to see that, because although I love what Amazon does, I truly do. I think that they have revolutionized the way that we buy things. Would you agree?
Oh, no, I agree. And you and I are both Prime members, Amazon Prime members. I love the fact that you can get something within 24 hours. I love the things that they offer. But the thing that I worry about is everything comes with a price, Linda. And censorship is a price. Just like when Jeff Bezos took my book off the shelves, it's like 99.95 five-star reviews, and because now he is supporting both publicly and financially the Black Lives Matter movement, and my book tells everybody the truth about it. It's not a political piece. It's not a hit piece. It's not an opinion piece. He didn't want people to understand the truth about the BLM, and so he removed it. That's the price you got to pay. If you want to get the candy, you got to pay the price.
Well, I totally agree with you. And that's why I am glad that Microsoft got the project. However, I have some problems with some people at Microsoft as well, because as far as I'm concerned, the Googles, the Amazons, the Microsofts of the world have gotten way too big, way too powerful, and they try to force the Democratic vote. And for the life of me, I don't know why, because all three would be completely changed if they get their way.
I don't think they get that. I think they believe that if they show favoritism towards a Marxist socialist government administration, that they're going to be given favors. It's just like Mark Zuckerberg with Facebook. I think I just read recently where he was going to donate $250 million to defeat President Trump. Okay, fine. These are literally nations within a nation that are working very hard through propaganda and through financial resources to usurp the democratic way of life. And the Trump administration, the Republicans, whatever you want to call them, they're trying to change the culture of the United States. And I think they're way too big to be allowed to do that. And I'd love to see the Department of Justice break them up.
Yeah. Well, here's another company, speaking of business type things, Ben & Jerry's Ice Cream.
Oh, God.
Yeah. Ben & Jerry's is launching a podcast, 6-part series, that is so that we can do some racial reckoning and address our issues of white supremacy. And I just could not be more disgusted. I will never buy a Ben & Jerry's product.
I never have bought it.
In my life, because what they are saying here tells one side of a story. And I can tell you, Ben and Jerry, that people in law enforcement see another side of that story every single day. So you want to talk about these murders of George Floyd and Breonna Taylor. First of all, the facts that people are saying about those cases are incorrect.
Correct.
And they don't tell the whole story. So just real briefly, Breonna Taylor, she may well have been an innocent woman standing there. However, when the police with a lawfully signed search warrant went to that residence, they were shot at and actually hit.
Correct.
By a bullet. So,
and they returned fire.
It was not as though they were just standing there shooting some woman in a window, as what they claim. However, I could equally, and I wouldn't even do it, but I could equally say hundreds of cases where, if you want to get racial, where black people have killed white people, that are horrific.
Well,
so
you know,
it's not supposed to be about race. Neither of those cases were about race, well, but they're making them be about race.
Yeah, because that's the narrative right now. So let me make an analogous situation. So you're in a theater of war, you're in the Middle East, and you're part of a rapid deployment force and a special entry team, and you're going door to door, and it's urban warfare. And you are stacked, which means you have one soldier behind another, behind another, behind another, like a SWAT team, and you go to hit the door on a terrorist house, and you get fired upon. They're going to take a grenade, and they're going to throw that grenade in the house, and everybody in that house is going to get killed. Is that excessive force? Is that racism? You know what I'm saying?
Well, sure.
Okay,
sure.
So when you were in a house, and I think it was the brother, or somebody, it was a brother, it was a relative, it was someone very close to her, and they were concealing this person, by the way. And when the cops hit that door, and the reason that they had a no-knock warrant, which is completely legal, and you apply for a no-knock warrant because of the severity of the risk to you, that's why you do a no-knock warrant, because you're worried about rounds going through the door if you knock on the door, right? So you're trying to catch them by surprise. But it's completely legal, and it's been going on forever, and it has to be signed off by a judge. So, you know, these are not officers arbitrarily deciding that they're not going to knock on the door and comply with knock and notice. A judge is granting permission based on the circumstances. But if you are next to someone that is firing on the police in a firefight, there's collateral damage. I'm sorry. You know, there's collateral damage. We can't always be, we would love to aim and shoot. I mean, that's, you know, ultimately you would want to do that. But when you're hit by bullets and you're taking fire, you're going to do whatever you can to suppress that fire. And I think that's what happened in that particular
case. And the reason that they
had... And it's tragic, but that's what happens.
It is tragic, but the reason that they had the search warrant in the first place was because of possible drug dealing out of that location.
With weapons and with people with violent histories.
So this is not somebody just walking up and shooting some innocent woman as being portrayed. On this Ben and Jerry thing, their podcast is going to explore a history of the people and systems that sought to justify human trafficking, slavery, and subjugation of Black Americans long after slavery was legally outlawed. Now, I have two things to say about that. Number one, I'm tired of hearing about this because all of the people alive today were not involved. You and I, our entire families were never involved because we are both...
Well, we weren't even in this country.
Sons and daughters of immigrants that came right. much later.
From other
so
countries.
Stop blaming me for being white. Secondly... I just forgot my second thought. So.
Well, no, I mean, you know, what's up with that, right? So it goes back
to I know what my point was.
Well, I'm not going to interrupt
you. Let me remember
you.
Let me remember. So, and it's interesting that our vice presidential candidate, who claimed to be African-American, who is not really African-American, but she is part Black.
Jamaican.
Being Jamaican. Her Black family had Black slaves.
They were slave traders.
They were slave traders, slave owners.
So is she going to get a reparation and then turn around and donate it to
I'm not exactly how that
people
works.
Who she believes really should receive reparations? How's that going to work?
But it is not only white people that had slaves. That was the way of the world back in that day, whether it was in the U.S. or other countries. So, and it's still the way of the world in many other countries today. So anyway, that's just the point, is that these companies that are getting involved in this whole racial thing are making me angry.
Well, I've said this before during our little conversations, that corporations, CEOs, and boards need to stay out of politics. What you need to do is make sure that you treat your workers properly, that you don't use countries that basically enslave their people and are working for 25 cents an hour, like, you know, Nike going over to China and basically using all that labor and then coming back and having the gall to print out, you know, t-shirts that say, you know, Black Lives Matter or social justice or this or that, when they don't practice, you know, social justice at all. So is it different in another country? So it's okay to basically enslave people, you know, at 12 cents an hour, so you can make a $250, you know, foot, what do you call it, basketball shoe, you know, for people. I mean, come on now. Can anybody else besides you and me see the hypocrisy to all of this?
Yeah, well, here's some good news for me. President Trump was nominated for the 2021 Nobel Peace Prize, which was for his work with Israel and the
UAE,
yes. So congratulations to him, and I hope he gets it. Well, Ron, over the summer, the Democrats and the media have been laying the groundwork and preparing America for big trouble if President Trump wins the election. So the first thing that they did is they have told Joe Biden, and you remember Hillary saying this, do not concede under any circumstances. Do not concede the election, because once he concedes, it's over. So he's not going to concede the election if President Trump wins. And basically what they are doing is they are really threatening Americans with what we see in the streets now times 10. So that if President Trump wins, we are going to have huge civil unrest, and we're going to have rioters and looters and all those types of things. And they have played this out. There was a George Soros funded event, that a seminar, where 100 Democratic leaders and some anti-Trump Republicans got together, and they looked at all the possible election scenarios. And in the scenario of Trump clearly winning, Podesta playing Joe Biden in this scenario would not concede, and they want to cause civil unrest and then have the military take care of the rest. So this is something very dangerous that Americans should know. And what we see on the news, on CNN and some of the other stations, is they are grooming us for this scenario by their words, by asking questions like, does the military have to take a lawful order from the president? Does the military you know, have to get involved in this, in removing President Trump from office? this is going to be crazy. And how we got to this place in our country just is really scary and worrisome to me.
Well, you know, what this really reminds me of is a type of Nicaraguan or Venezuelan type of socialist Marxist takeover. So not a bloodless coup, because look at what we're seeing in our streets right now.
Well, they tried the bloodless coup with the whole impeachment thing and they lost. So now...
Oh, no, I completely agree with you. And that's why I'm saying, you know, Americans need to wake up and get prepared for this, because I don't think this will be a bloodless coup. We are already seeing the blood in the streets. We are already seeing police officers and innocent civilians being attacked, being harassed, being murdered. We are seeing the damage, the arson, the throwing of missiles and Molotov cocktails. And I'll tell you what, if President Trump is ahead in the election and Joe Biden refuses to abdicate or concede, and the Marxist socialists and the Hillary Clintons and the George Soros-backed revolutionaries, militants, mercenaries come in to our cities and continue this, it'll be the military being used the opposite way. And I think President Trump has got every right to send in the military and severely put this down.
Well, I also do, and they are saying that it will be a street fight and not a legal battle. So people need to be aware of this whole situation, and this is why they wanted the mail-in votes. They want the fraudulent mail-in votes to make sure that Joe Biden can win even after Election Day, when they can stuff the ballot boxes and continue to count votes. This has been very well planned out. They're having scenarios, they're having meetings about it, and we're going to talk more about it, but America needs to know. Well, Ron, people are listening to Dr. Ron and Linda on Talking While Married on AmericaOutloud.com, and you can listen on any of your podcast devices to hear our show, previous shows. But I want to talk to you about some reviews I've been reading on your brand new books from the Wade Justice series, Texas Ranger. And the first book is Absolute Justice, and the second book is Justice for All. Justice is spelled J-U-S-T-U-S. And the books are excellent, and I'm reading the reviews on our WadeJustice.com site, and every one of them is excellent. It's just so thrilling.
Well, you know what I like about it is because people in our community, which is, you know, the legal and the law enforcement and the forensic community, the people that actually do this work for a living, these, you know, forensic investigations and anti-terrorism stuff, they love the books and they say that they're 100% accurate. And I'll tell you, as the author of the series, there's going to be quite a few books in this series. You follow me everywhere I go. We go right on site to the real locations. We talk to the real experts. And you can literally go from book to book. Each book, you can go right to the different locations of my mysteries, my thrillers, just participate almost like it's a tour. So I'm really happy. You know, this is a life's work for me. And I hope that people will go onto the site to wadejustice.com. If you want a personalized book and an autographed book, we pulled a few hundred books from the publisher, and those are available on wadejustice.com. But Linda, they can also pick up the books at where?
Well, on Amazon. Again, the site is wadejustice.com.